Hey, it's Gary Holt from Exodus, and you are listening to Thomas Gavel, the podcast of PowerMetal.de.
Hey, everybody. It's myself from Thomas Gavel, the podcast of PowerMetal.de. And this following episode is in English because of our today's special guest. He was born in Richmond, California, one of the main characters of the Bay Area thrash metal scene, and for me, one of the inventors of the thrash metal as we know it today. And in this year, his band is celebrating his 42th birthday, and he's part in the band till 40 years. We will talk about thrash metal, we will talk about the mighty Exodus, and we will talk with Gary Holt. So Gary, welcome to Thomas Gavel.
Thanks for having me, man. It's
awesome. How do you feel right now?
I feel great. When you put the band's length of existence into terms like that, I feel a little old, though. 4 decades I've been in this band. So
it's amazing. Before we will talk about the upcoming records, for me, a very cool record, I think. Can you give me a little update about Tom's health status? How does he feel right now?
Tom's doing amazing. I mean, we just played our first show together since his cancer battle, and he destroyed it. It was super awesome, emotional night, and he's doing killer. He's relearning, a new relationship with food, because he doesn't have a stomach, but so he has to eat differently and approach food in a whole new way that you and I don't have to. But, he's adjusting. He's doing super well. I talk to him all the time, and he's, playing the drums and ready to get back.
So, Gary, during your Slayer engagement, which ended in November 2019, did Tom and the other Exodus guys still work on the material for the new record Persona Non Grata?
No, we didn't really get serious until July when Tom and I gathered up in the mountains to start working on stuff. I'd been writing for a while and sending Tom riffs and songs and stuff. And then we got up to this place in the mountains and we gathered, and just him, a set of drums, me and a half stack, and started putting it together. And it was super fun and super easy.
Did you have any ideas for the new Exodus songs while you were on the farewell tour with Slayer?
Yeah, I'm constantly recording riffs and writing down ideas and song titles and things of that sort. And, I have a huge list of stuff, to this day, song titles, especially if, subject or a title appeals to me, I put it in a little note in my phone and keep it, and then I remove it from the note if I use it. So, I have a little catalog of things to lean on when it's time to start working.
Do you want to hear my opinion about Persona Non Grata?
Of course.
For me, it's an absolute killer record because it's quite better than Blood In, Blood Out. And for me, it combines all the great and mighty Exodus trademarks. The material did not sound like a continuation of Blood In, Blood Out, rather a lot of records put together. And I think it has this wonderful Bonded by Blood nostalgic in combination with the force of Tempo of the Damned and the modern thrash power of Blood In, Blood Out. So I think you were very focused on these things Exodus stands for.
Yeah, we were super focused doing this album. We had no distractions. That's where COVID helped us out, because we didn't lose any summer tours because we were going to make an album. Everybody else had everything being canceled. Mm-hmm. What we didn't have was offers coming in, for tours, and you end up taking them. All right, we need to go out and earn some money. Let's go take this offer and stop recording and we'll come back to it. We just worked, and it was just Tom, myself, guitars, drums, and a barbecue grill and a lot of beer, and it was like summer camp. It was like a vacation. And we'd get up and have breakfast and coffee, and we'd just go out and start riffing out. And we, Tom and I speak, an unspoken language. We've been playing music together for almost our whole lives. And on this album, we really put it all together. It wasn't any intentional thing we did. We just worked really hard, and we kind of listened to our gut instincts. And I think this album does cover all the eras of Exodus all in one. I mean, there's a little force of habit in this record.
Yes, of course.
Impact is imminent. There's Pleasures of the Flesh. There's Bonded by Blood. But all modern and all a new take on all of it. But just it's super full. This album covers everything, and it sounds insanely killer.
If I have to rank my favorite Exodus records, it's on the first place, Temple of the Damned, because it was my first experience with Exodus and it blows me away. And then Bonded by Blood, of course. And then it's very good Persona Non Grata, because, like I said, it combines all the thrash metal trademarks and Exodus trademarks. And was this focus the main aim which you started the work on this record?
When it all comes down to it, we didn't like sit there and say the album had to be like anything. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to write great songs. That was it. You know, we wanted to be heavy, of course. And, but we wanted choruses, you know, and this album, every song is just a hook after hook, you mm-hmm. know, we wanted to like have great songmanship in the context of a super heavy thrash album. And, that was the only thing we considered, like, let's make sure it's good.
So what do you think would Persona Non Grata sound different if there wasn't a coronavirus, or did the COVID-19 situation have any influences on the sound or aggression on Persona Non Grata?
It certainly did lyrically, even in a subtle way, because when we were writing this album, you know, sometimes, you know, you're working on stuff or you're sitting around the house, you know, up in the mountains, and you're seeing on the television in the background, you know, the world is like basically burning, you know, like everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And so you're kind of absorbing this from, you know, without even realizing it. And it's just creeping into your subject matter of your songs. And next thing you know, people are telling me the album covers like, you know, all these societal ills. And I didn't even really realize it. You know, it's just writing, you know, I'd get up in the morning and write, you know.
I was very surprised about the title, Persona Non Grata, and I think it has different types of meanings. Is this your personal side card for the divided society, for all the people who fight against each other instead of building a mankind union?
I guess you could say that. I let the song mean whatever it means. You know, like I get asked every interview I do, who is Persona Non Grata to me, or who is in the song? And I'm like, it's no one person. It's like, it's negative energy is my persona non grata, you know, but to you, it could be an ex-wife, an ex-husband, a boss, a politician, a former friend. It could be anybody, you know, you fill in the blanks, you know, the song means to you what you say.
And gives you a bad feeling and this not worth for.
Yeah. And it's just a waste of energy to like, to spend your energy on such things.
Absolutely. So what do you think are the reasons for this split inside the society?
Politicians, the media, they all want us separated, you know, because there's strength in numbers. And the last thing they want is a unified America, you know, at least in my own country. I can remember a time when politicians at least pretended to appeal to the other side for their votes as well. You know, a Democrat may like try to sound tough on law and order to try to like gain some votes, and the other people seem like they want to like help out the poor, you know. That's only during election time, you know. Now no one even cares anymore. I just want my voters, and I do not even give a fuck about the other ones, you know. And it's led to a completely divided society where people will hate each other over difference of political opinions, you know. Like, I've had differing opinions from most of my band for my whole life, and we're still brothers, you know, like, I mean, I think the whole world could learn from Exodus. You know, like we're brothers in arms, and we're Democrats and Republicans, and we still get together and hang out and drink beer. Well, when I was drinking, barbecue and make albums and hang out and laugh together, you know, we don't hate each other.
In a summer camp.
Yeah. I mean, some bands today, I don't think could even exist that way. It's like you all have to believe the same shit or you can't be in a band anymore.
And when you are on tour with Death Angel and Testament, was it like a summer camp with old friends?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons we chose to postpone it. because, you know, for one, the risk of canceled tours right now is huge. Every tour that's in America, almost everyone you're seeing like, you know, five shows canceled, blah, blah, blah. And when you lose five shows for us, Testament, Death Angel, you're losing all the profit, all the money. And next thing you know, you owe money and you come home and you're in debt. It's better to not be in debt. I'd rather just not make money than owe money. But also, you know, we want to like be able to tour the way we did in Europe. We want to have fun and hang out with each other every day because it's fun. You know, we don't want to have to tour and live in a little bubble and I see Chuck Billy or Mark Osegueda and I got to put my mask on and walk by him real quick and talk to him from 10 feet away. We want to like have fun. You know, I'm too old to do this and have it be miserable.
And it was so good to see you on stage with Exodus.
I had the best time of my life.
It was wonderful. A little question about the title, Persona Non Grata. I think that the title, the beatings will continue until morale improves, is very representative for the message of Persona Non Grata, for me especially. So do you think that the living will be easier if everybody's morale will improve?
Yeah, obviously, if our morale is better, we'll like live better. But, you know, I was watching all the rioting and stuff and the riot cops just beating people with sticks, you know, a lot of peaceful protesters being beaten. And it just made me think, and, you know, it's a slogan. I've seen it before, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. And it just made me think of that slogan when I was watching that in the background, you know, like, what do they hope to achieve? Do they like, if you beat enough people, they'll like submit and become compliant and submissive, you know, like that's not the way humankind works, you know, we fight back. And it seems so counterproductive to me. So, you know, the song was written kind of tongue in cheek, you know, based on what I felt they were, I guess, hoping to achieve. It didn't work. It never does. You know, you can't beat people into submission, not anymore.
And I think the most people treating you bad in course, they will feeling self better because they are very upset or depressed about their own lives. And so they will treat you bad in course of their bad lives.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the rioting was all due to like, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement because they were protesting being killed for nothing, you know, and like, and it's horrible shit, you know, that they have to go through. And like, I'm one of those guys who I'm a big supporter of law enforcement, but I also understand that being a cop doesn't give you a right to like drag a guy out of a car and kill him for a traffic stop. You know, you know, if you're killing a guy, it's supposed to be done to protect your own life or the well-being of the general population, you know, not because the guy didn't want to get out of his car. You know, you're not supposed to put your knee on his neck and fucking kill him. You know, so that was the angle I took it from it. You know, it was based on the protests.
A very horrific story, I think. I was very upset that to listen that this is possible in this society right now, and I was very shocked.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, you know, like there's a whole lot of good cops in this world, and there's a lot of cops in the United States, and they're not all bad. And all of a sudden, people want to like defund the police department. So like, who are you going to call when someone's stealing your car? You know, you need some police sometimes, but our police need to do a better job, some of them, of like, you know, how they handle situations with like the use of force.
Absolutely. I want to tell you one of my favorite songs on Persona Non Grata. It's called Clickbait. And it was, for me, a fantastic appetizer for the whole record. Is this angry song your personal criticism of consumer behavior?
Criticism of the media, you know.
Of the media.
Yeah, exactly. You know, how they, you know, everything's monetized. And, you know, so they have to like lure you in and they have to bait like the trap to get you to click because they get paid for how many clicks they get. Mm. And, you know, heavy metal, like media is like super the most irresponsible. They're terrible at that shit. You know, they're like, they'll take an article where someone praises a band as the greatest band ever, but then in that praise, they say the one album they did, they don't like it. And the headline will say, so-and-so says he doesn't like Metallica or Slayer. When the whole article said, you know, no, they're the greatest band of all time. I just don't like this one album. I think it sucks. And then it says, Gary Holt says, so-and-so sucks. or anybody else, you know. And but you know, in politics, it's run rampant. It's horrific, you know. Anytime Joe Biden like stumbles on a word, which I stumble on words all the time, and I'm not senile. It's like, you know, Joe Biden is like, you know, losing his faculties, you know, or, you know, even Donald Trump, right? And I couldn't stand the dude. Everybody knows I can't stand the dude. The guy would like make a typo and it'd turn into like, you know, 2 days of news, you know, like I typo all the time when I type on my phone because I'm not very good at it. You know, I can imagine he's probably not as good at it as I am. It's all part of the divisive nature of everything.
Absolutely.
Also, just like the sound of the tile, it sounded good. Clickbait. You know?
I think it's very good. But you have to answer me one question. What does REMF stands for?
Rear echelon motherfucker.
Grateful. Because it's a very pissed off song. And I think this is representing Zitro, your singer, as a so great main man for the voice of Exodus. He sounds unbelievably powerful on this record. What do you think? What are the reasons for this development since Blood In, Blood Out, from your point of view?
Well, when we were doing the vocals with Zetro for Blood In, Blood Out, I was in Europe with Slayer. So everything had to be done via email, phone conversations. You have the time difference. And then he'd redo a vocal part and send it via Dropbox. And then I'd have to listen to it. Then I'd give suggestions again. And so that's really difficult, you know, to like work that way without being in the same room anymore. And this album, you know, Zetro came up and stayed with us the whole time up there. And he was part of the summer camp. And we had a small demo studio set up in the rental house. And so I would go drive down the hill and go over there and I'd record some vocal phrasings. And then he could actually work on them. And then we started trying different stuff because we had all this time and ability and we felt no pressure and no time constraints. And he just killed it. He's so good on this album. It's amazing.
So do you think it's the better way to record a record?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like if you look in the glory days of hard rock, Queen, Deep Purple, they used to like take off. They'd rent like an estate somewhere. They'd go to Lake Geneva and they'd like make an album. They'd bring the whole studio. Right. The Rolling Stones did that. A lot of bands did that. And that's how we record. Exodus was like, we're like the cheap ghetto version of Queen and Deep Purple. Yeah. You know, they have Lake Geneva. We have Lake Almanor, but you know, it's the same thing. Bunch of guys isolated together in some place that's pretty and beautiful to look at and making music together.
In the end, I want to mention two more songs from the new record, which I like very much. For example, Prescribing Horror. And I think it has a very cool Slayer vibe in the song. A little bit of South of Heaven, I think. So for you, how important was your part of Slayer for you as a songwriter for Exodus?
I don't know. I never really thought that song sounded Slayer-ish. I always thought it sounded like similar to like something maybe Trouble would write, you know, super like doomy, you know, for Exodus. It's a straight doom song, you know?
Yes.
Just a little chunkier, you know, a little more palm mutes, you know. The song was almost not used, and it's my favorite song. I had demoed the whole thing in GarageBand, and we kind of like were near the end of the recording. Tom and I, like, we started listening to some unfinished stuff I had, and like, what, this song's got real promise. You can't ignore this. And so we threw all my GarageBand tracks into Pro Tools, and then we edited the song while sitting there listening how we wanted it, and then re-recorded it. And we actually kept some of the guitars, the clean guitar and the little haunting melody part are from my laptop off the demo. You know, I just felt re-recording them would take away the vibe, you know?
Okay. And I want to mention my personal hero on this record is The Years of Death and Dying, because I think it has a very cool power metal vibe in this thrash metal. So
we are on powermetal.de, right?
Exactly. So what do you think about my mention of power metal in Exodus?
Well, I mean, when we got around to the chorus of that song, when Lee Altus showed up to the mountains and I started playing him the songs, and we got to the chorus on that, which was a little different, but the melody was there. He goes, "What in the name of In Flames?" And yeah, there's a little Swedish influence on that, I think. And, you know, That was written entirely while up in the mountains, and Tom wrote the lyrics to that based on some poems that he was working on. And, you know, it's one of my favorite songs, but, you know, I can't pick a favorite on this album. They're all super good, you know.
Exactly. So I wish we will see you on tour. We also can't wait. One last question. As we speak about the Bay Area theme, bands like Exodus, but also Testament, Death Angel, Heathen Possessed, were part of the legendary Bay Area thrash metal history. But what do you think about the US thrash metal scene at this moment, and which bands will take up this legacy sometimes? What do you think?
Well, I mean, there's some great bands. I mean, Municipal Waste already are achieving legendary status, and, you know, Power Trip, you know, certainly were primed to do it before Riley passed. And I'm sure when the time is right, you know, my brothers in Power Trip are going to come back strong. You know, they need time to grieve, obviously, such a tragic loss. And, you know, Warbringer, killer band. There's great bands in Europe like Lost Society are super killer. And, you know, the new generation is there, and they're strong and they're killer. And, you know, at every Exodus show, the audience is getting younger, you know, so it's kind of cool to stand on stage and see a lot of like teenagers. It's amazing. I love it.
So no worries about the future of thrash metal.
No, it's going strong.
Wonderful. So, Gary, my friend, with a quick look on the clock, I have no more open-ended questions right now. Instead of one last question, what is your most favorite song at this moment? Your most favorite rock or metal song or pop song?
My favorite album in the world right now is the latest album by Haim, Women in Music Part 3. And the song Up From a Dream is just amazing. It's so good.
Cool. We put it on this theme. And so, Gary, thank you very much for part of the Pommes Gabel history. It was a big honor for me to speak with you. And dear listeners outside, Gary and I wish you all the best and have a nice day.
Right on. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.